Amen. It's good to see everyone tonight. I'm glad that you made it out on this potentially stormy night. I guess it depends on where you're at. I missed it tonight. Got right in the middle of it last night, but missed it tonight. Brandy, I said, it's looking dark this way. And she said, it's already storming at the house. And then Sister Judy was saying that there's lightning strikes about 10.1 miles away. And I said, I think I about know where that's at. So that aimed up pretty right there. But risk not an acceptance of him in that day, all covered with sin. You know, that's something to think about. If anybody has a front row seat, I know we think a lot about Israel and what's going on there, the center of the earth. And Brother Mike, we've been watching the news again. We've picked that back up, primarily Brandy, but she's been really watching this going on over there and everything. It's interesting, you know, because if we're grafted in, part of the church, we're grafted in, that's part of our history as well. And we should be pretty well versed on some of those things. But you think about it, everything that's going on, we as the church are really have a front row seat to what's going on there, even though we might not be there, Brother Allen, but we are in spirit. You think about those people and what's going on. And I tell you, I'd hate to be sitting on the pew in a church that's preaching the gospel and risk that acceptance. That's, you're rolling a big dice in risking that. It's just too much to risk. But it's good to be here tonight. It's good to see you all, and I'm thankful for you. Been looking forward to getting back tonight. And we do have a business meeting tonight, and I do anticipate a very special time of prayer with everything that's going on in our nation, everything that's going on there, our nation, the other nations around us, and definitely want to take time to pray. I do have a card to read tonight. This is from Brother Jed Warren, the missionary that was with us on Sunday. He said, "Thank you, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, for your warm welcome, reception of the ministry, and your hospitality. We appreciate being able to park our trailer at the church and the generous love offering. A special thank you to the Moore family for their mechanical help." Brother Jed Warren. And so I think they had a little trouble with their Tahoe back there, and I think Brother Philip was able to help him, and he mentioned that to me last night. He was very thankful for that. So when you're out traveling, especially pulling a trailer, you want to have make sure everything's working well. So I told him, I said, it pays to have people in the church that can do all kinds of stuff like that. And he said, it does. So, but that's a blessing. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll, again, not try to go too long, but I do want to cover some things. I guess really thinking about this here, I'll go ahead and give you the title. The title tonight is Overtime. Not overtime as in a ball game, Sister Chelsea, overtime, but over space time. Because it almost feels like overtime now. With us, I think in the world, we're looking around thinking what much more has to happen before the Lord returns. But when you think about faithfulness, you think about consistency, that is something that is definitely over a time period. It's not something gained instantly. We can get impatient about things and want things instantly, but some things you just have to wait for. Some things you have to earn through time. And that, consistency is one of those things. And I believe maybe it was mentioned last night that Preacher Eric had maybe had a devotion along those lines, and it was on my heart after that. When I left last night, it was on my heart this morning, and I kind of wanted to look at it myself. And when I think of consistency, and I'm always amazed with words that you find and what they mean when you look up the definition. Because for me, when I think of the word consistency or being consistent, that just means showing up and doing something continually over and over and over. You just continually do that. And that is absolutely part of that definition, but also it's something else as well. It's acting or done the same way over time, especially as to be fair and accurate, fair or accurate. So you're talking about being consistent in something. If you want to gain something, it's important to be consistent. But if you look at the word consistency, you add that little C to the end of it, it also kind of means something a little bit deeper. It means a standing together, being fixed in union, the state of a body in which its component parts remain fixed, agreement or harmony of all parts of a complex thing among themselves. And talk about substance. That's what it's talking about. If you look at being consistent, that's something that we do continually over and over. And I like to use the word faithfully or consistently. It's something we continually do. But if you want to know what you're made of, the word consistency, your faithfulness will determine that. It will show that. How far are you willing to go for the Lord? How far are you willing to go for your family? How far are you willing to go for your church? How far are you willing to go for your spouse? That's something that's measured over time. That's not something that's measured overnight. We get impatient and we think it's something that maybe we try. We try in that moment and we want something to be better. And we try one time. We think that's going to fix everything and everything moving forward is going to be okay. But it takes time. Just about everything you see in the Bible takes time. The 40 years of discipline that was given to the children of Israel, the time that with Pharaoh and what it wasn't an overnight thing. It was time. And when you start looking at time and how things are measured that way, we learn and we grow that way. So I wanted to read this verse and I'll pray. But I want to read 1 Corinthians 15:58. That's the last verse of a very, very important chapter for the child of God. And when you start seeing some things, when you thinking about being consistent, you think about over time, the importance of that and why we should remain and stay faithful and consistent in what we do. Verse number 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be back tonight, Lord, with our church family and to see everyone, Lord. We're just so thankful, thankful that they're here, thankful for your word and what you give to us, God, and how you speak to us and work with us, Lord, throughout our lives and however long or however short that might be. And Lord, tonight, just focusing on the word consistency and being consistent, how important it is for us to do that. Not lose sight of that based off of feeling or based off of sight or circumstance, God, when we see things maybe that are fearful or things, Lord, that seems like, why should we remain in the fight, Lord, why? You know, sometimes I think we can get discouraged like that. But God, I thank you so much for scripture like this. Lord, so much of it, God, in your word that encourages us to stay faithful, to stay in the fight, to stay with you, God, and just see what you're going to do next. Always looking to see what you're going to do next, Lord. I just thank you for how you do that, how you take care of us, how you look after us, Lord, not only in this life, but the preparation that you've given to us for the next life, God, in eternity. God, I just thank you so much for that. I pray that your will be done here tonight. Guide my mouth and my heart. God, help me to say everything you'd have me to. And Lord, I pray for our service and I pray for our business meeting tonight. And I just ask that your will be done, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So it's an encouragement what you see in the end of this long chapter. There's a lot of doctrine when you start thinking about eternity and things to come for the child of God. And if the only the hope that we had, the Bible teaches us, is on this side of eternity, this life, we'd be of most men most miserable, all men most miserable. That's something to consider. You think about seeing things that make us fearful and just knowing that this life is the shortest part of what we're going to face. I know it probably doesn't seem like that right now. It probably doesn't feel like that. We have different people in different places in their life. Some of us may be seemingly looking forward into life, some of the young ones, and some may be seemingly looking past, back on life. But here's the thing. This is the shortest part of it. James calls it a vapor. This is the shortest part. When you think about eternity, that's forever and ever and ever. This is a time of preparation and a time to stay consistent, to stay faithful. And I want to remind us, I know it seems like a long time sometimes when we're waiting on something to happen, maybe an object of prayer or thinking about life and when is the Lord going to return, but I want us to know this is the shortest part. As far as being faithful, I believe the Lord really asked a small part of us, the smallest part of our life. He asked us to be faithful. Then he said, then you come and enter into my rest and I'll take you from here. It's something for us to consider. But when every time you see this, and I know you probably know this, but anytime you see in the Bible, therefore, wherefore, as it is written, it's important to go back and see exactly what he's talking about. What's being said, and here Paul, I just want to go back to the 51st verse, not to go all the way back, but he's saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and movable, always abounding and the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can have some vain work or vain things in our lives, but your labor in the Lord is not in vain. But he's saying, therefore, if you look at verse 51, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And what's he talking about there? You think about the next step that pretty much could be on our timeline, what we're looking at. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, what we see, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I think that's probably one of the biggest fears that man faces from day to day is death, the fear of the unknown, the fear of what happens next. But look what we have in the Lord Jesus. Verse 55, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that is not encouragement to stay steadfast, I don't know what more could be. You know, I think sometimes part of being a pastor is being an encourager. Don't like to use the word cheerleader, but you can call it that if you want to. I guess there's nothing wrong with that, but being an encourager, being a motivator, being a helper. But I can only give you what the Lord Jesus has given us, what he's given us in the words. I could say a lot of vain things tonight or at any time to try to make you feel better, but I think the best thing that I can offer you is what the Lord Jesus offers to all of us. That's eternal life, salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So these things that Paul mentions here, he's saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, remembering this, remembering what you have as a child of God. Thinking about that song just a few minutes ago, you know, there's a lot of encouragement in that song, Brother Nathan. There's a lot, but there's also a lot of warning. Warning to those who haven't accepted the Lord, and it's a risk. Risk not an acceptance in that day. What are you waiting for if the Lord's dealing with your heart? What could be more important than your soul? What could be more important than accepting the Lord and what he has for you, not even in this life, but the life to come? What could be more important than that? So you look at being consistent. It's talking about here being steadfast and unmovable. We're staying in the fight. We're not wavering one way or the other. I've never, and I'm a young fella, I guess, but I've never seen so much that can grab our attention and run with it. Anything that you might have interest in, it'll grab your attention. The fights and the arguments and the weirdness and the craziness that you see in our nation, and then you look at that waste and pulls and drains so much time on our society, then you see what's taking place nationally with the wars and the concern that people have over that, and rightfully so. I heard on the news the other night, I think it was Iran, either has or potentially has the firepower to reach the East Coast. We're on the East Coast, kind of close. I mean, if you look at where we're at, we're on the east side of the United States. Brady said, we might need to move to the Midwest. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I want to do that. I kind of like where I'm at. I kind of like home. I like it here. And here's the thing. We got to remember, God is still in control. You see, when you think about wanting to know what's going on, you can listen to Fox, you can listen to CNN, you can listen to whoever you want to, but they're only going to report part of it. I'll say this, I'm not getting political, but just what my time listening to in the news and what have you, but listen to Mr. Netanyahu, listen to him. I was pleased with what he had to say about the United States and the parts that he talked about it, talking about the president and everything like that, but I thought maybe he was giving a little bit more information than what I would give if I was getting ready to go into a war. I don't want the enemy knowing my next move. And I think he kind of backed the reporters off a little bit. And some of those things just aren't for public consumption. Just don't need to know. They don't need to know the plan. And I say that to say this. You can hear whatever you want to on the news, but this is the reality of what's happening. It's in God's Word. I want to encourage you about that. Don't think for a second that God's word is something in the past
that it's not going to help us through the present and through the future. I've seen too many things, and I know many of you have too. I've seen too many things come to be true in God's Word not to trust it the rest of the way out. It's just that important. And just being consistent with it, I tell you, the importance of studying your Bible every single day, it's paramount. It doesn't take any time at all before you start maybe worrying about things, getting consumed with other things, and you get weaker and you're weaker. If you want to get stronger, you have to stay consistent. I probably preached along these lines a lot, but I think it's important. I think it's important. You know, honestly, our church should be full on Sundays. It should be full on Wednesday. That's a sign of consistency. That's a sign of commitment. If you're not learning and growing, you're not learning and growing. I know the analogies you use a lot of time with fitness. It's easy to do that and use that. But throughout life, if you don't have that time of the breaking down and building of the body, it doesn't grow. The actual part of working out when you lift weights, that's not what makes you stronger in that moment. You're actually breaking your body down. It's after that rest and rebuilding happens that you get stronger. Now, if you look at it that way, you think about your life, you think about your spiritual life, your emotional life, the things that you go through in life, and people go through different things. That breaking down mentally sometimes when you're facing that hard situation and you're trying to get through it, that's not the time to quit. That's the time to stay committed. That's the time to keep growing, and you keep coming back. If you want to get stronger, you have to keep coming back. And the Word of God and your spiritual life is absolutely no different. If you want to know what you're made of, if you want to know what your consistency is, it'll show up in how consistent you are. It's amazing how these things come together, but that's something that's measured over time. Again, I see this here. 1 Corinthians 15, it says, therefore, 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable. That means consistent. Be consistent. Always abounding. Always abounding. And you look at the word abounding, that means a great plenty. And it also means gaining advantage, and it means winning. If you want to win in your spiritual life, then you need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's every one of us. I don't want the preacher, the teacher, or the deacon, the choir leader, those people that you think have to be biblical or the only ones that can take part. We all need to be biblical. Every one of us can be a winner from what God's Word is saying. Every one of us. I'm telling you, don't ever lose sight of that. The work of the Lord is anything but boring. I want you to know that. I think I told Brandy, we were talking. I said, I think the biggest issue sometimes for the child of God is not going as far as God wants you to go. He wants you out of your comfort zone. If you're never out of your comfort zone, you're never using faith. And you know what happens if you're never using faith? You're not pleasing Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You'll never know how far He's willing to take you unless you're willing to go with Him. And that takes trust. And I tell you, nothing pleases our Father more than the trust that we show to Him, our trust and our obedience that we give to Him. So abounding in the work of the Lord, that means, again, having great plenty. I believe He will always make sure that we have the child of God has what they need, but again, prevailing, and that means gaining an advantage. I tell you, if you know the Bible, you're a step ahead of most other people. A lot of people, they'll think of things that maybe they heard a little bit of this and heard a little bit of that, but if you take your time studying the Word of God, when things like this happen in the world, you're not taken by surprise. The child of God knows that something is happening, that something is going on, and you know that it's already something predestined that the Lord has put in place. I'm going to read Galatians 6:9. It says also here, let us not be weary in well-doing. That's the grind. That's the grind. I tell you, I preached on that not long ago, but when you're going through day-to-day life and you get ground down, sometimes it's easy to get weary. It's easy to say, why stay in the fight? Several maybe are not staying in the fight, and maybe they're just kind of hanging out and doing whatever, and they're still around. And if they're still around, if I get out of the fight, I can just still be around and just kind of float. Who wants to just float through life? I don't, do you? I mean, don't you really want to know what God has for you? His plan, when He created you, Brother Terry, I'll use you, when He created Brother Terry, and you were born, God had a plan for you. Don't you want to know what that plan is? That to me is the most exciting thing that you can find on this side of eternity. People want to grow up and go to school and get married and things like that, which is good. That's what we should desire to have and to do. But don't you want to do that with God's plan backing it up? To see what He can do and what He's wanting to do in our lives? And so don't get weary in well-doing. And look what it says right here. For in due season, you know what that is? Over time. Over time. See, it doesn't say in an instant. It doesn't say instantly. It doesn't say in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. See, when this is over, it's over. But what it's saying until that point in time comes, where it says here, for in due season, if we shall reap, we shall reap if we faint not. He's saying stay steadfast. I think about the time it gets the hardest, the time it seems the darkest. If you hang on just a little bit longer, I think that's when the blessing comes. I believe that. I've seen it happen before. I've experienced it in life before. Thinking, my goodness, what's going on? Have I missed this thing this bad? And it's, what is going on? And all of a sudden, it's like the sun comes out. The birds start chirping. All this thunder and stuff goes away. And Dad, that rainbow comes out. I want to tell you something about the rainbow last night. Anybody see that last night? I experienced something last night, and I didn't know if it was just me or whatever, but Dad said the same thing. As we were coming, as I was coming on to 194, the Bear Creek side off of 421, I take that side so I don't have to go across the speed bump bridge and everything out here, you know. So I come the back way. A little bit easier. You still have some bumps and things, but what was interesting is every time I would take a left turn and kind of face 421, the rainbow would appear. And it wasn't way up in the sky because I was down. The trees were covering up there, so I couldn't sit there. It was in front of the car. And it's like it was leading me. It was kind of an interesting thing. As I would turn, I could see a perfect rainbow as I'd go. And I'd turn right. You know, it's real curvy. Well, I'd curve right. He'd go out of sight. And I thought, well, I probably won't see it again. I'd turn left, and there it was again. And it's like it was leading the car as I was going. It stayed right there. And Dad, when he came, he actually recorded it. He came here, he said, look, did you see? I said, yeah, I saw it too. He said, it was like it was just in front of me the whole time. I said, me too. It's kind of neat, isn't it? God's always there. A lot of times we don't see Him. We don't see Him in things, but I think if we start looking for Him more, we'll see Him more. And when you see Him more and you know that He's there and He's guiding you, that should make you more confident. That should encourage us to be more consistent. I tell you, the best times, I'll use this, the best times I've had in the gym wasn't when I started. The saddest times probably when I quit, because who knows how much further you could have went. But it was those times that when you went in there and you know what, I'm going to max out today. I'm going to try this today. And there's maybe you had that goal that you wanted to reach, and all of a sudden you was able to reach that goal. That's some good times. That's good memories. But think about it this way. As much as it's an enjoyment for us, when we achieve a goal, think about the one giving the goal. We set goals for ourselves, but now you think about goals that God has given you, milestones that He's given you in your life. He wants to see you achieve that more than we want to achieve it ourselves. Think about how pleased He is. And again, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, over time, we shall reap if we faint not, if we keep going. If we keep going, our consistency is a sign of our trust to the Lord. He's saying, that's us telling the Lord, I know you've got me. I don't know exactly how you're going to handle this and how you're going to work it out, but I trust you. So I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to fall out. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to close with Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us hold fast the profession. That's an important thing. Your testimony, my testimony is an important thing. Our profession is an important thing. When you profess to the world that you're a Christian, that's an important thing. The world is not looking at the profession, professing Christians that lay out, fall out, and are not around. That gives the world hope that they're just as good as the saved person is. And I tell you, there's nobody better than anybody else, but the lost person is not in better condition than the saved person. And they should never perceive that. When people start looking at our lives and they're saying, well, they're just no better, we're all just the same, there's no difference, then we're not doing something that we're supposed to be doing. Now you look at it this way, it's not about works to achieve salvation, but after salvation, there should be something there that says, I want to work for the one who died for me. I want to work for the one who gave his all for me so I could share in the inheritance with him. There should be a desire there. And see, when the world sees that difference, when the world sees that reality of it in the face of everything that's going on, that's when they can see the realism of it. The world is not in church tonight. The world's not studying the Bible tonight. The world is looking at those who profess to be doing those things to say, hey, how are they doing? How are they faring and hanging on during this time? So again, it says here, let us hold fast the profession. Our profession is a very important thing, of our faith without wavering. People look for the wavering. People want to see something that is real. It's not about entertainment, but something that is real, something that they can find hope in. And that's why the Lord left us here, to show the world hope as his children. Because it says here that how the verse ends up, it says, for he is faithful that promised. So don't think that everything hinges on you and me. It's not left on our shoulders. I know the burden can be very, very heavy to bear for lost people, and it should be. For loved ones that's needing help for different things that goes on, the burden, we should absolutely carry one another's burdens. But remember, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Remember, he's the one that's going to see it through. It's not left up to us to see it through. I remember at my ordination, they asked me, they said, you know, brother, is it up to you to see people saved and to make sure people get saved? And on the face of it, you think, yeah, or trust the Lord and leave the results to him. You and I have to leave the results to him. We can't. It's him. You know, it's one thing to get worked up about things. I believe it's good to be passionate about things, but I believe the Holy Spirit should always be the one that's doing the driving, always the one doing the leading, always the one doing the calling. And I believe if we get our hearts right and follow him the way that he wants us to, that he'll do that. He's more than happy to lead if we're willing to follow him. But just remember, being consistent and consistency, that's something that takes place over time. It's not a short thing. It's a lifelong endeavor that we look at. And I think it's important to remember that. But I'll stop there. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add tonight before we have our business meeting? Amen. It's something.